I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I talk to on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today is one of our face-off episodes, which departs from our usual interview format. There are so many different approaches and choices in business, it can often get confusing. So that's why we thought it would be fun to bring on two experts with a different approach to the same topic and let them discuss it or debate it. After hearing both sides, you can pick the approach that works best for you. Today, I'm pleased to welcome David Zweig, who's been a guest before on Smashing the Plateau, episode 15. Dave is the author of the book Invisibles, which is about, among many other things, his take on the 21st century problem of personal branding and image overtaking people's actual work in terms of what they pay attention to. I'm also pleased to welcome Gary Vaynerchuk. Gary is the founder of Wine Library TV, VaynerMedia, author of numerous best-selling business books, also a Miss America judge, and one of the foremost proponents of personal branding. So what I'd like to do, actually, is to read quotes from things each of you has said or written that seem to oppose each other, or advice you've given. Then I'd like to take turns saying why you favor your approach, and each of you can get a chance to do a rebuttal if it seems appropriate. So before we get into it, I'd like to give each of you a chance to give your own definition of what personal branding is. Dave, why don't you start?
My definition of personal branding?
Yes.
Jeez, I guess that's, well, I think in the conventional sense, people think of branding as there's lots of different terms for this. People talk about like building a platform or having a profile. You know, a lot of this relates to people's work online, though, of course, a personal brand is not exclusive to online. It's essentially a brand for the self. It's how people position themselves in the marketplace or in some other sphere with a certain message about themselves as to what they're, you know, generally, like professionally, what they're about.
Great. Gary, what's your definition of personal branding?
I think it's someone's reputation predicated on the fact that we live in a very different world than we used to, because, you know, so many people have much broader reputations out there, and obviously a lot of, you know, and it's in the way that I think most people define it, it's that reputation that is then leveraged for whatever business means or charitable means or legacy means that person is trying to get out of it.
Okay, good. So now let's get to the face-off. So Dave, you have either said or written the success of personal branding is either short-lived or simply a perception of success based on the amount of noise surrounding the person. And Gary, a paraphrase of one of your quotes is, everyone needs to start thinking of themselves as a brand. You are a brand, you are the business, learn how to brand yourself. Whether you are an employee or business owner, you are responsible for your own brand. So Dave, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what's behind this quote.
My quote?
Yes.
Who wrote that? Can you read that back to me one more time?
Yeah. The success is either short-lived or simply a perception of success based on the amount of noise surrounding the person.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, the crux of what I've been trying to get at with my book, Invisibles, where I had all these people who've become incredibly successful, many of whom are at the top of their fields, yet they got there by doing essentially the opposite of what it seems kind of the ethos is today, where people need to really do a heavy amount of self-promotion and brand themselves, as we're talking about. And these people who I profiled in a really wide range of fields all were able to become quite successful by essentially being really self-effacing, by being what people will call like team players or master collaborators, and by not really tooting their horn so much. And so what I'm talking about here is that a lot of the people who I met with, both the Invisibles I'm talking about and others, is that there's a lot of people who are spending, I think, a lot of time trying to brand themselves and create more attention for themselves, when in fact that attention doesn't always convert into action in some way. There's this interesting story I give in the book about this woman who, this is in the early stages of Twitter, she was featured on sort of like the Twitter homepage at the time as it was constructed, and she ended up pulling in something like 1 million followers. And she has this great line where she says, you know, and she was kind of an amateur writer, budding writer, and she thought, after, you know, 1 million followers, I'll definitely get a book deal out of this. I'm gonna, you know, get literary agents. I'll be able, you know, we'll be banging on my door, blah, blah, all this stuff. And none of that happened for her. And that's not an anomaly. So I get what I'm pointing at is that just, and I suspect Gary probably would say the same, is that simply generating noise on its own for yourself is far from effective.
I couldn't agree with everything more than what was positioned. This comes down to, I mean, I would say there are far more successful Invisibles than the alternative. It, you know, because the truth is, there's just so many people that are successful that nobody's ever heard of, right? And so, and I also agree, there's a common disproportionate amount of people who speak and try to create the sizzle without having any stake behind it. I think what excites me and why I wrote Crush It in 2009 around personal brand was, holy cow, there's this new thing called the internet where you can actually get financially or creatively benefits from playing in the long tail. There's no longer somebody who decides who gets a book deal. If you can build an audience of 400 or 4,000 or 400,000 people that actually care about you, and that the key is care about you, not decide to follow you or see an impression, well, then you have a chance of actually making something happen. And to me, what's interesting about like the quote unquote personal brand is I actually feel like it has the highest level of capitalism, meritocracy. You know, I know that I'm gonna net out to have the success that my talent allows me to. And I would argue that I'm sure that I've already achieved more than what people thought I would 5 years ago, because I am loud and in your face. And the cynicism of the society is, oh, that's an infomercial dude. He's winning on his bullshit and there's nothing behind it. So, you know, I fully agree with that. I think people are very confused by one very important thing. I always say the greatest marketing in the world isn't going to help you sell your shit product, right? And so I think that's how I think about this. You could be great at PRing yourself and you could be charismatic as heck on video or podcast or on stage, but eventually there's a D-Day. Eventually there's a day of like, hey, you know, I always think about my books, for example, right? If I'm not selling hundreds of thousands of copies of Thank You Economy, Crush It, you know, these books, well then why would anybody listen to me, because I'm selling them off my brand equity? And so, I mean, that's kind of how I see it.
So maybe these next two quotes are gonna end up being closer together than might appear just by seeing what's in print. So let's see how this goes. So Gary, you have written, "The internet makes it possible for anyone to be 100% true to themselves and make serious cash by turning what they love into their personal, what they love most into their personal brand." Mm-hmm. And Dave, you have written, "That's the irony of all this noise about the need for self-promotion, especially so online. In some ways, it seems just a vast myth the culture has bought into."
Yeah, I mean, I'll jump in here first. Like, you know, I have a company called Grape Story where we represent Vine and Snapchat and Instagram celebrities, and where, you know, and I've spent a lot of time in this space and really the stuff that I believe in around personal brand. And again, you know, I think what I'm talking about is, you know, internet as a platform to allow people to monetize in whatever means there are. But like, it's stunning to me that these comedians or these singers and songwriters, actresses, I mean, the scale of what income levels, you gotta understand, serious level of money. you know, again, and I'm sure as we go through these quotes are always need to be contextualized to what was written the 500 words before and the 500 words after. To me, it is a serious amount of money if you can make $40,000 a year through AdSense or brand sponsorship or native ads or whatever, you know, affiliate links, in a world where a lot of those people would have made that same amount doing something they don't like, right? So I think the context of serious money, I remember that quote from that, was predicated on serious has to be defined within your means, right? There's an, I mean, we can all sit here and everybody's listening. You know, if you live in the coasts, you forget what the average income level is for an American, for example. So I do think it's crazy that we can use Google AdSense, Facebook ads, affiliate links, and brands now are pouring so much money into individuals to make dollars in a world where otherwise 15 years ago pre-internet, I mean at scale, because I know the internet was around, everybody listening, you know, you were just good at your local bar singing songs.
Yeah, what I'm getting at, and this may or may not be in conflict with what Gary's talking about, is that I don't disagree that people need to brand themselves to a certain extent, but I think a large part of this has to do with what you do. And you know, there are a few types of fields, right? If you're like a Vine, so if you're, you know, a 16-year-old Vine celebrity, then sure, you need to figure out a way of getting yourself out there, because the metric of value for those people is the number of views or eyeballs or followers. That is their metric of value. But the thing is, and I agree also that, yeah, 40 grand is serious money. If you're doing what you love, that's awesome, instead of working at, you know, job X, you know, yep, withering away in a cubicle. So yep, that's fantastic for them. But I guess what I suggest is that the vast majority of people are not entertainers or other stuff. Now, certain fields, people still benefit from having some notoriety, of course, but the
I'm actually curious on, you know, to try to at least make this interesting, because I have a bad feeling we agree on everything. on what fields would you define from your optics are also beneficial?
Well, media people, I think it can help. Which you know, which I guess could, in a Venn diagram, there's an overlap between, you know, a journalist and an entertainer, but there, sure, is a difference between a Vine, yeah, celebrity, yeah, versus someone, sure, who's writing.
David,
books.
Let me ask you a question, actually, to put some beef for the listeners. Do you think a lawyer, mm-hmm, a partner or somebody in the firm, what do you think about a lawyer who's putting out content in video form or audio podcasts or writing on LinkedIn about the state of the union law within their field? Do you think they're building personal brand? A, do you think that B, that can't benefit them? And C, just in general, the picture that I'm painting, right? Somebody who's got some IP and understanding or points of view, right? Is talking about their narrow space, but may not historically been thought of as entertainment. This is literally somebody who's pontificating or updating people on the state of the union of their craft.
Got it. Yeah. What you're talking about to me is something from the different people I've talked with and read about seems to be a big thing for the past number of years, where anyone, whatever field they're in, it's like, hey, you should start, you're an expert, start, mm-hmm, writing about this, and you're going to establish, you know, a following, and this will establish you. This is what people do. Whether you're a graphic designer, they should have a blog. Whether you're, mm-hmm, as you said, a lawyer, mm-hmm, and there definitely are going to be a couple people, and that literally might be a couple too, you know, in a certain field, or maybe a handful who are going to break through. But there are, you know, 10,000 lawyers in any specific, you know, slice, any specific niche. And so out of the 10,000, if they're all getting the same advice, you should write about this, you know, you're an expert, write about this. But, you know, an infinitesimal percentage of people who are trying to establish some sort of brand by writing about their thing online or some other means
don't become
are going to fail.
Yeah. By the way, and this is why I think we're going to bring value in this conversation. I think that's exactly right. And where I think the nuance of interest that I think is cool is that's 100% right. Anybody listening, that's right. 10,000 lawyers, maybe one breaks out, maybe four breaks out. Now the question becomes, how do David and I debate or agree or just define breaking out, right? I agree. There'll be 1 to 3 people that can make millions of dollars a year because they got a TV show or had a book that went bonkers or get paid $50K to speak or have a sponsor come in and sponsor their show and they make $400,000. What's the true definition of a personal brand and why putting out content to the world matters? To me, what's fascinating is there an ROI exchange value to a lawyer in PepsiCo, Florida, who puts out a piece of content that then leads to him or her getting 2 pieces of new business, and that retainer made them $11,000 versus what time and effort they put in? It just becomes a, and then you got to factor in, do they like to write or podcast or make video? David, that's probably the crux. I'm with you, right? Like, I think everybody thinks of these things as absolutes. Like, you'll be the next Oprah, you'll be the next Seth Godin, or you crash and burn and nothing happens. I think there's a lot of in between. And then the question becomes, is the time and effort they put into that justify whatever those minimal returns on investment by human standards are they getting, right?
Well, let me just jump in for 1 second. I would reframe it just a little bit and say that for the average person who is thinking about these personal branding issues, we all have 24 hours in a day, and most of us have limits on how much money we feel comfortable investing in our own personal branding, right? So how do we decide how much time we want to invest in this process, how much money we want to invest in this process, and where we might get exactly what you were just talking about, which is the return on that investment?
So the money is a great question, and I would actually argue that if you're not massively passionate about it and it's not your dream, the money should not be part of the equation. The fact of the matter is when you start using new platforms early on, you have a disproportionate opportunity of breaking out in them. And if you make the right bets on Instagram or YouTube or Twitter or Tumblr or Pinterest, and then they become great platforms and you are good at storytelling or creating content on them, you actually, there's not a heavy dollar amount. Time is the big one, right? It's the time exchange. The question becomes, is it valuable for you to take that risk to the alternative of not having that minimal or maximum upside? I think that's a very individual answer. Plus, we're not factoring in people. Listen, guys, you know what's super funny? I wish I was an introvert. You know, like, it's exhausting always wanting to be on, right? But I can't help it, it's my DNA. And I think there's people that are probably the opposite of me. So there's a lot of very personal DNA structure in these answers as well.
Yeah, it's true. Dave, what do you have to say?
I suspect Gary may agree with me in what I'm about to say. I have a little bit of just the framing. I think I frame this a little differently than you, Gary. So if we go back to our 10,000 lawyers, right, and there's going to be 1, 2, or 4 people who are going to break through, where they're going to have a following in their niche, whatever their field is, and the rest of the people are spinning their wheels. What I think differently, though, is I don't think that the majority of people think they're going to be the next Oprah or they're really going to explode and, get $50K for a speech, et cetera. I don't think that most people are aiming for the stars. I'm sure there are a few. But the message that's being sold to the majority of just kind of regular mid-level professionals is that they need to do something like that in order and that their expectation isn't to become huge and make $1 zillion. But as I thought it was a good example you gave about, hey, you put a couple pieces of content online and maybe you're going to land a new account that gets you $10K or something like that. Well, to me, that depending on how much money this person makes, that's a great return on your investment.
Right.
But what I suspect is that even that is incredibly rare. From all the people I talk to over a couple years, very few of them even get that. Most people, if you picture a library, right? And they're a large library with several floors, and there's, you know, tens of thousands of books in there, and you write a book and you put it in a random stack in the back of one floor on the third level. No one's going to find it. So, and that to me is essentially what almost everyone
the supply and demand of the noise
right.
factor.
So,
right.
So I guess my point is, and then I have a question to you, Gary, is so not only do people, you know, reach the sort of Oprah level or, you know, whatever as we're talking about, I think an incredibly tiny amount of people even reach the level of the example, which seems modest, the example you gave, you put some stuff online and you're going to gain a new account. Yeah. I think incredibly small amount of people even do that. So what I sort of, the advice in my book is, and what I found, and you may or may not agree with this, is that most people, it's a waste of time to be doing this stuff online, unless they enjoy it. You know, that's something else. But if someone's doing it strictly as a means, then they're wasting their time and they're far better off perfecting their craft.
I think the truth is, and you know this, like, this is a never-ending circle that really comes down to a individual-to-individual-to-individual basis. If you're going to go and interview people that weren't successful, we can find hundreds of thousands, millions, right? But the question becomes, a thing that I always look at is, when did, one thing I would love to know of the people that you interviewed of who didn't win, you know, I did 17 months of Wine Library TV before anybody gave a crap. And one thing that I see a lot of is people buy into this dream that you rightfully are saying, like, plenty of people are selling, though plenty of people are very cynical to it. I would argue way more people haven't tried to do it than have tried to do it. Right? I mean, this is out there and it's being sold that it's out there, but I would argue, if you just look at how many YouTube accounts get to a fourth video or how many blogs get to a 10th video, you know,
everyone's kind of half-assed in their efforts, you're saying, to in the branding. So it sounds like you're saying part of the problem is that people aren't really, if they're going to do it, they have to do it for real. And it sounds like you're saying maybe you suspect a lot of the people just aren't doing it enough to make it worthwhile.
I get why. It's discouraging, right? Like, some people are perfectionists. You spend 3 hours to write a blog post, one person read it, it doesn't feel good, right? And the other thing that's not being talked about that I think we'll probably both agree on is it's not that easy.
Yeah, it sounds to me like what I'm hearing from both of you is that pursuing your passion and doing it in a way that produces quality work over while building engagement and developing relationships takes consistency. It's a long-term process. It's not easy. It can be done, but it takes diligence.
Well, not only that, real quick, just for context for everybody, your passion versus your skill set becomes another thing that most people don't define enough, right? You know, Crush It was called Crush It, time to cash in on your passion. Opening line though is, if your passion, like, my passion is to be the quarterback of the New York Jets, the problem is I'm small and not good enough, right? And so I want to make sure that everybody listening define, if you are blessed that your passion also matches skill, now you've got a real shot, right? Because that's going to give you the time. You're willing to do it because you love it, and you know, it's like your hobby becomes your business, and you might do it for 17 months and finally break out. And then you've got people who are passionate but are delirious. They're like those American Idol people that come on, they think they can sing. Well, that game's over from the beginning. And then the interesting majority that I like to debate, or an interesting big group, and David, you brought it up, which is, man, if you really just love skateboarding, you know, at some level, you're just expressing yourself and you're getting the value of finding like-minded individuals around an interest that maybe you won't make 100K, but even the four, you know, I get a lot of emails from people of like, hey, I didn't break out, but I'm blogging about being a mother, or I'm making videos or a podcast around cooking, and I made $1,473 in AdSense, and I bought a nice new stove because of it. You know, those kind of stories are intriguing to me because those people win on both fronts.
But there's a lot, I guess the area that I find interesting and also an area of concern is that there are a lot of people who aren't capable of doing this. As you were saying, it's hard. And there's a lot of people who don't want to, but it seems like, it sounds like what you're saying, it's more more of like an underdog thing than it is to my perception. Mm-hmm. And from the people I've talked with, I think that this is really kind of the ethos today, is that people, attention equals value, and that people need to be doing this. There's an enormous amount of pressure on kind of the average person today. Has it's just kind of in the ether, an awareness of this is what I'm quote supposed to be doing. And yeah. I think
you're right. I think that's where we see it different, because there's 100 million Americans that could be having to do this, and there is literally a gross micro fraction of them actually even attempting it. It's very different about building a brand that brings you business results than having a Twitter account and talking about something you're interested in.
Right, right. I think that, right, the context of this year we're talking about is from like a professional perspective.
That's exactly right. I mean, that world, which I spent an enormous amount of time on, is there's just nobody's doing it. And the amount of people that give up within a week is extraordinary. I mean, I'm looking right now in my office. I have 500 22 to 30 year olds that I'm looking at right now, 40 of them, like none of them are doing that. They work at VaynerMedia. Now they have social media accounts and Snapchat accounts, but that is very into just the way they live. They're not, nobody, none of the people in my company are actually using it to leave Vayner and become a celebrity chef, or to, you know, just none of them. I actually think that you hit the crux. I think we're seeing it different. Now, I think I agree with you. There's a lot of people that are trying to sell this that are very loud, which then make it feel like everybody's talking about this. But I do see that a little bit differently.
Now, I don't know if this gets outside of your space at all or not, but I mean, one of the things that I find interesting, beyond sort of the creating the online presence and then the ability to generate some income through AdSense or, you know, other means, is kind of when we pull the lens back just to the culture at large, and this notion of, you know, even the people who are in your office, Gary, that there's certain kind of cultural norms, and then, you know, and you were saying it's hard being on all the time as an extrovert and stuff, but I mean, for the average person whose personality lends itself more to subtlety, the type of person who's not going to be the one who's raising their hand and shouting out when there's in a brainstorming session in the office, it maybe takes them an hour or two of alone time to come up with their ideas. These are the type of people who are having a hard time today, and that I'm trying to push back against the prevailing notion.
Yeah.
So I'm interested, not only because I think a lot of what you're saying is true, that what you're talking about, it makes sense as far as like an effective means of creating a certain amount of income in a certain type of field, if this is what you want to do online. But if we pull it back to just people working in an office or other places, forget about the online thing, but how people are feel that they're supposed to conduct themselves.
That's a great point. I hope everybody listened really hard to what you said, because I think there's some really cool truths in there. I think you're going to find what I'm about to say really funny. I'm the CEO of VaynerMedia. We're 500 people. It's pretty known in the walls that the loudest, hardest in the room person tends to get scrutinized a little bit more here, because I almost push against my sizzle more than my steak. And so
that's,
I think,
great. Well, I'm glad that you have that kind of, maybe it's because you're so knowledgeable about, you know,
or
what
it's self-awareness,
the sizzle
does, right? Like I'm so aware that when I go on stage and curse and go Jersey on everybody and just am my normal self, David, I think you'll find this interesting. I actually think that I get disrespected to my actual accomplishments because of my personality.
I think that's probably a fair assessment.
I think the market forgets that I was 30 years old and had already built a $50 million business before I ever taped one YouTube video and became quote unquote Gary Vee, right? So I think if people are in rooms where the extrovert is getting overvalued in today's society of noise, which I think has a fair, you know, I haven't gone down the rabbit hole enough to speak on this with enough oomph, but I can definitely recognize why that's in the ethos. I think that's a really poor job of leadership within that company of recognizing the wrong skills.
If you are in a leadership role, let's say you own a small company, or you're in a leadership role in a bigger corporation, and you've been successful, but then you hit a plateau and you think you need to shake something up, and you're thinking about maybe this issue of sizzle is something that I'm missing out on, what one piece of advice would you offer to somebody in that category? Gary, why don't you start?
I'm going to use one word. I don't know, it's one word, it shows my smarts. I think self-awareness is everything. And so either you were lucky and born with it, and I'm not quite sure, maybe David has some thoughts on this, or anybody else listening, if you hit us up on social, give me some thought. I don't know if this can be taught, but I think everything we've just talked about is very heavily predicated on self-awareness. I think every employee within an organization needs to be reverse engineered around their strengths and weaknesses. I think people that are lucky enough to have attention need to be self-aware of why and what. And so I would say, you know, you've got to, if you're self-aware and you know what makes you happy, you then understand whether you want to triple down on just putting your head down and being better at your craft, or investing a little bit more in putting out things to the world. But it all starts on what makes you tick. Are you lucky enough to know what makes you tick, and then execute against that strategy?
Dave?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with basically everything Gary said. And just to sort of tack on to that, just pulling back again toward this kind of broader notion about the attention economy, if we want to call it that, is the notion that while it works for some people, the vast majority of people, it's just not the right path. And that people would do far better, as Gary said, to have a self-awareness and work on what makes them great at what they do. And if you think of yourself as like your personhood as a business, that I think far too many people are spending too many resources on their marketing department, or feel like they're supposed to be spending more resources on their marketing department and not enough in their R&D. And that if you, you know, to use this metaphor, if you think of yourself as a company that 99% of the people are going to be better off investing in the R&D way more of that. It's not saying that you don't need a marketing department. You do, and you can't. And the people in my book, none of them are doormats. They're not meek. They don't hide in the corner. But you need to really invest in what you do and stop feeling this pressure to be spinning your wheels to gain attention. I think, you know, Gary and I, it sounds like we're in agreement on certain things.
We've used one analogy the whole time. Listen, if a sizzle gets you to bite the steak, but the steak tastes like crap, you're not going to bite it again.
So with that in mind, can each of you name one or two resources that listeners can access to learn more about the points that you've made, either a person, a publication, an online source, or any kind of resource that comes to mind? Gary.
I'm gonna go very weird on you on this one because nothing pops clear to mind. I think wherever you sat on this, it's stunning to me by how many people don't recognize Googling long terms, like how to excel in an extroverted environment as an introvert. The results on Google and the, you know, can actually get you down a rabbit hole that bring a lot of value. I think I really believe in long tail search culture.
Interesting. Dave?
Yeah, that's a great point about the long tail. Here's a little bit of my own sizzle, but hopefully the steak. The reason I'm on the podcast here with you is my book Invisibles gets into a lot of the stuff. I mean, part of it I hope is a fun trip where you're just learning about these like kind of obscure people. The guy who's the top structural engineer for skyscrapers, or Radiohead's guitar tech, all these kinds of people. But the heart of the book, what I get at, is the stuff that, you know, Gary and I, that we were talking about here. So if you're interested in kind of learning more about the nuts and bolts of that stuff, I certainly get into it in the book. And then there's a host of other great books. Adam Grant's book, Give and Take, Susan Cain's Quiet, and a number of others that kind of touch on this.
Okay, great. So in 30 seconds, can you each mention something you're working on that you're really excited about? Dave, why don't you go first?
I'm putting the pieces together for my next book. And Gary, I'm actually going to reach out to you, I think, after this, because it deals with the more, it's not business focused, but it's more about how our how the culture at large, and particularly our online culture, how that affects our self-perception. And I think there's a lot of interesting stuff there with the type of stuff that I think you may be doing, Gary, from my sense of, you know, it's like that company, The Audience, and these are where people are working with these new Vine celebrities and stuff like that. I think there's a lot of stuff there to explore. Yeah. That was a little vague, but anyway.
Well, yeah, I'm more than, I can't wait to connect and find out.
Gary, you know, what are you working on that you're excited about?
I think this is like perfect sum up. You know, I'm so pumped that I'm head down and operating again. You know, I pushed against my sizzle in 2009, starting VaynerMedia, and in 2011 became the CEO, and take an enormous amount of pride in being the operator. Sure, I'm doing Ask Gary Vee and I'm doing this stuff. I'm pulling in both directions, but I'm in full operations mode. I'm a very active CEO of 500 people right now, and I like grinding that out.
Great. How can listeners learn more about you, Gary?
Probably twitter.com/GaryVee is probably a good place, so thank you.
Okay, and Dave?
Yeah, I'm easy to find, davidzweig.com. Is my sort of home base online. Gary, do you still own the wine library?
Or
is
I that, do.
You do? Yeah. So is the flagship, is that the one on Morris Turnpike in Springfield?
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Because I grew up in Short Hill, so I know exactly the store, and I've purchased
Well, thank you very much.
I remember when it opened, I was like, this place is incredible. It's huge.
Thank you, my friend.
So the world is small, the offline world just as much as the online world.
Absolutely.
Gary and Dave, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guests today have been Gary Vaynerchuk, entrepreneur, video blogger, social media expert, and best-selling author, and David Zweig, writer, lecturer, and musician. Thank you again for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.
You've been listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by 10 Strategic Partners. Be sure to visit our website at smashingtheplateau.com and join our email list to hear many more great interviews like this one. And if you like what you heard, please leave us a review on iTunes by going to smashingtheplateau.com/iTunes. I'm your host, David Schreiner-Kahn, and we'll be talking again soon.